Genesis 15 and 12, it says, now when the sun was going down, watch this with me. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. You see that with me? Horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, he being God. This is God orchestrating this moment. Not in light, but in a horror of darkness, God is moving. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. This is prophetic. This is talking about years ahead. And God is moving in a horrible darkness and beginning to speak something prophetic to Abram. I don't know about you, but I like to think of God as moving while I'm in a beautiful place of light where it's relaxing and comfortable and I have Starbucks, or I'm from Portland, a really good coffee in my hands. When I envision God doing something spectacular in my life, it is not in a horrible darkness. And yet, look at where we are here. Descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, here we are with darkness again, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. God is moving in a supernatural way here. And he is speaking prophetically, and he's making a covenant with Abram under the cover of darkness that is so thick that it created horror in him. And I've come tonight out of darkness to talk to you about a God in the dark. A God in the dark. I don't know about you, but I think it would be good if something swept over the American church that was so profound we'd stop being afraid of the dark. Because I'm learning in the dark and in the scripture that darkness is a canopy that God operates within to do supernatural things. Amen. Hallelujah. It's true. I'm excited to share it with you. You may be seated. We serve such an amazing God that tends to operate in ways that we often cannot fathom. Many of us are very familiar with the fact that his ways are not our ways. Neither are his thoughts our thoughts. And it's interesting to me often where God seems to work. And it tends to be in places I would not expect or probably not recommend or desire. In this case, I believe we see this together because it's in the dark that God is doing something profound here with Abram, speaking prophetically. There's promises, there is principles, there's a covenant being made here in this dark moment. And as I said, I felt so compelled to kind of step out of the dark just to remind us tonight that God is ever present in the dark and doing some phenomenal things. And it is so important that we don't miss the covenant opportunities in our dark moments. I don't know about you, but my flesh wants to pray, get me out of here when the darkness is around me. But I have learned that that is not usually the right prayer. It's usually a prayer that's going to get me in alignment with God so I can be in the spirit and begin to see what he is doing in that darkness. Because he's often working in the dark. Every one of us I would probably say was afraid of the dark at some point. Perhaps as a child, we were afraid of the dark, and we think we grow out of it. But the question is, do we really grow out of it? That question isn't framed for the natural, but the spiritual. Perhaps we do sort of move away from a fear of a natural darkness, but are we moving away from a fear of a spiritual darkness? Are we spiritually maturing and growing out of that so that we will embrace the dark clouds that God begins to develop and allow to move throughout our life? Do we see dark clouds and think, I got to get out of here? Or do we see dark clouds and think, oh, what is God about to do? Are we truly no longer afraid of the dark? I want to encourage us tonight that instead of focusing on fear in the dark, we get our focus on God in the dark. Because I want to share some scriptures with you that will help us understand that the darkness is often just a canopy that God is operating under. It's actually a comfort zone from Him. That darkness is a workshop for God where He does some phenomenal things in the earth when we get on the same page with Him. Darkness is often the canopy, the covering that God uses to approach humanity. It's usually not the beautiful sunny days, but it's those dark moments when God's presence has a way of just showing up in a very special way and doing something transformative from the inside out in our lives and in our communities and in our metropolitan areas. When you look in Scripture, darkness preceded Israel's exodus from Egypt. In the dark, Joseph and Mary took Jesus away from Herod into darkness, Egypt. Listen to this passage in Psalm 18 and 11. He made darkness His secret place. His canopy around Him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. This is talking about our Lord. He made darkness His secret place suggests that God can dwell in darkness. Who thought that? He dwells in the darkness. Who knew that? Which symbolizes that mystery and the unknown, they just highlight His sovereignty. They highlight His glory when we begin to look through the darkness for that. They rise above all those things that are lurking in the dark. And He proves Himself so profound in the troubles of the dark. His canopy that's mentioned there in that scripture, that canopy around Him was dark waters. That term canopy implies a protective covering, indicating that God's presence is enveloped in formidable elements. One says possibly chaos is an envelope for the presence of God. Everybody say, yeah, that dude is weird. He must come from Portland. He's up there promoting darkness. Think about that with me. He says it's His canopy. I'm enveloping myself in that darkness so I can do something powerful to change the earth. In the dark, I want to encourage some things here tonight. The first is this: don't allow the perils of your darkness to rob you of your covenants with God. I don't know who all's in some dark moments here tonight, but I'm very familiar with dark moments and dark places and just following the will of the Lord. And I have found that that darkness will strive so hard to rob us of the covenants that we have with God, to distract us and disturb our focus so that we can't receive new covenants with the Lord that are awaiting to be secured in the dark clouds that hover over our lives. There's more in that darkness tonight than you might think. There's some supernatural things awaiting you in that dark moment. If you won't think about running for Him and begin to think and set your mind upon the Lord in His hand and what He might be doing, you may start to see that darkness differently, and God might do something profound in your life tonight. He's working there. But I don't know about you, it can be so easy in those moments to be praying about getting out and to be distracted and not only lose a promise, lose a prophetic word, misplace a covenant, but also miss out on new ones. And I don't want that. During COVID, it was a terribly difficult time for all of us. I recognize that. In Portland, it was a little wild. And I spent a lot of time early on praying, God, this has got to end. You got to get us out of this. And then I got convicted. I felt conviction. Because instead of opening my eyes to see how God was going to work in that darkness, I had fixed my mind and my will on something different. And His will in that moment for my city was losing its value because my will was not in agreement with His plan. And He started to mess with my heart. To say, you got to stop praying how to get out of it and start praying and looking for my hand at work in the middle. Because I'm working in this darkness. I'm doing something in this loss. I'm doing something in this grief. And I say that it was heavy, folks. I told Pastor in his sitting there in his office today that there's some ministry I thank God for. Because during that season, my family and I faced so much loss. And the darkness and heaviness that was upon us was so tremendous. I didn't know if we could bear that. And God sent ministry at the right time to come and just stand with us in all of that loss. And He began to try to teach us that, listen, the darkness is not quite what you think it is, Chad. It's actually a space where I'm trying to do some work. And I need you to change how you value that darkness so we can do something supernatural together and lives could be changed. And I believe that for each one of us, there's purpose in the darkness that you may be facing tonight. And when you start to get a glimpse of what God wants to do and you get on the same page with Him and you change your prayers a little bit, you're going to start to see something supernatural happen and the hand of God in that workshop called darkness tonight. Hallelujah. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise and worship Him for a moment? I thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. I'm not afraid of the darkness any longer, God. I see your hand in it. I'm expecting something mighty to happen because it's your space where you do your great work. And I refused during that process, and I still deal with that every single day, saying to myself, no, I will not let this situation rob me of the covenants of God, the promises and the prophetic words that He's given. I'm going to put my foot firmly down in this darkness and continue to believe and walk with the Lord. In the darkness, don't let your feelings rob you of progress and continued growth in God. And in your faith, be spiritual, not in the dark. In the dark, be spiritual and not carnal. Excuse me. That's my challenge. I don't know about you, but the biggest problem Chad Williams has got is Chad Williams. I grew up and I would hear elders say, demons are not a problem. Your flesh is. I've heard that said a lot. I live in Portland, Oregon. I have seen that a lot in the last 5 years. The demons are not the problem. It is the flesh, right? It's knowing what to do with the liberty that Jesus Christ gives us so that we might draw nigh to Him and then He would draw nigh to us. And oftentimes in the darkness, the demon's really not the problem. It's Chad and my flesh and fear and allowing my spirit to be broken down in that darkness and misunderstanding what God is doing. And so in the darkness, that is the moment where we want to do everything we can to stay in the spirit and not in the flesh. So for me, prayer and fasting and fellowship and scripture and assembly and worship become a paramount thing because I refuse to let the dark rob me from the goodness of God and His plan for my life. So I'm not going to let the darkness do it, and I'm not going to let my feelings do that. I'm not going to let my flesh do that, my carnality and my humanity do that. But I'm going to elevate all of those disciplines so I can be in the spirit and see what the Lord is doing. In 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16, Paul contrasts the natural person with the spiritual person. The natural person cannot accept or understand spiritual truths, viewing them as foolish since they require spiritual discernment. When I'm in my flesh, The darkness that's around me is foolish, and I am frustrated, and I can get angry, and I can get out of the Spirit of God and the will of God. But when I am in the Spirit, that darkness doesn't look so foolish anymore. I can begin to discern where God is at in it and how He is working, and it doesn't have the same authority and dominion in my life anymore. When my wife was first diagnosed with cancer, we got consumed by that darkness, and it was eating our lunch. But when God got a hold of us and changed our perspective in that cancer, and we begin to realize, no, God's in this darkness. It's just a canopy. We could start to see His hand moving. It changed our faith. It changed her body when we said, I will not be afraid of the darkness, and I will not let my flesh rob me of something supernatural in it. And that changed everything. And in that dark canopy, God proved Himself to be greater than I had ever seen Him before. And my wife serves diligently every day, reaching for people in Portland, Oregon, because I refuse to let the darkness have its way with my faith and my family and my calling and my purpose. Hallelujah! Yes! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. People probably think I'm weird because I talk to myself a lot. There are so many days where you're dealing with the darkness and the onslaughts that's in that darkness. And I find myself standing with some conviction in my spirit. And I will say, I command this body to change. I command this mind and this spirit and this heart to come to the attention of God and not be distracted in Jesus' name. Because despite all this stuff around me, I don't want to miss what God is doing in my life and in the environment around me. And I want to be in the Spirit because that's what's going to help me to understand and see what is happening. I want to put the mind of Christ on so I can discern the deeper things that are in the darkness around me. So I have decided I'm not going to default to my flesh, and I would encourage the same with you. Not anymore in that darkness will I default to that flesh, but I will work and I will war to put on the mind of Christ so that God can shine brightly in that darkness. Jesus. I want to say this. Remember, the darkness may not be from God, but He can use it to change your life and others as you lean heavy into faith, hope, love, and catch the last one, patience. That's the hard one. I wish God moved like the microwave. That's a microwave. That'd be nice, boy. God, could we just put this situation in the microwave, give her about 1 minute on high, and we can have her done. But He don't like that thing. Patience is the big one. But I've learned, man, when I get in that dark place and I'm surrounded, if I just lean into faith and I lean into hope and I lean into the love of God that's always there, and I choose patience, knowing I can trust Him, it's amazing what He can do with that darkness, even if He did not architect that darkness. We can see it in Genesis 3, in the garden when darkness showed up and something terrible happened. And we see that in that moment, God proves He can work in it and with it. For Satan worked with woman to bring sin in the earth, and God worked with woman to bring a Savior into the earth, proving that He can handle any darkness that is in our life and around us. And we don't have to be afraid of it, whether God created it or you created it or the world created it. God can work with it when we get on the same page with Him, and He can do something supernatural with it. And I thank Him for that today. John 1:5 says what? That the light shines in darkness and darkness comprehends it not. I wish it said the light shines in light. Wouldn't that be nice? But it says the light shines in darkness and the darkness does not comprehend it. So I'm recognizing that. I'm standing on that. And when a trespass comes my way, I release the people that do that to me because I want the light to shine in the darkness. When troubles come my way because I make a stupid decision, I go to the Lord and I repent because I want the light to shine in that darkness. When a trial comes my way, I rejoice in the Lord because I know He's with me because I want the light to shine in that darkness. I turn to Him in all things because I've learned that in the darkness, that light can shine, and it's where it shines the brightest. A few more things, and we're done. In the dark, don't forget what God said to you in the light. You with me? Don't forget what He said to you in the light. I have a memory problem when it gets dark. I would like to tell you that at 45, I have conquered natural darkness. But I don't know that I have. Depends on what darkness it is. And I find when you get in a dark place and you're disoriented, you can forget a lot of things really fast. You ever been that way before? I was just on a trip with a number of men about being a biblical man. We were camping and hiking in the Ozarks. I went to the restroom before the night session. I came out. And there was no men anywhere in the campground. First thought, rapture happened. And I was like, well, maybe I'm a prophet for everybody that slept behind. I'm just kidding. Then I thought, no, there's no way they went and I didn't go. No, I'm kidding. I'd spent a few days with them by then. I was like, no way they're there. I'm sorry, forgive me. I'd heard that smaller meetings around campfires was going to happen that way. That sounds like something Lewis and Clark would say. We're going that way. I looked that way. I had a headlamp, but it was dark. I couldn't hear any guys. I said, you know what? Jesus is everywhere. I think I'll just sit here at this fire in the quiet with Jesus and read my Bible. Because I don't know, I might get out there in that dark spot and get disoriented and I'll forget everything I know. What about when spiritual darkness settles in that we didn't expect and it's sudden? Isn't it easy to forget what God said yesterday? But I want to encourage you. When you get in those dark moments, fight with all you have to hold on to what God said in the light on Sunday. Write it down. Put it on a mirror. Get it in your heart. Say it again and again and again because it will carry you through that. As God is working, don't lose what He said to you in the light. In the dark, it would seem that it's going to consume us. That canopy is going to consume me, but it's not going to consume you. It's got victory in it. It's got new covenants in it. It's got promises in it. I heard this just recently. That darkness that is over you may turn out to be the shadow of the Almighty God. That's good. It might turn out to be the shadow of the Almighty God. And so I'm not letting anything rob me of what I know about the Lord because I want to know what's He doing in that darkness and where is He. And I can't wait to rejoice when I find out, oh, it might have just been His shadow as He was working in my situation and in my life. In Portland, Oregon, Pastor said it, it's a dark place. It's a challenging place. I don't say that for pity. It's just the truth. It's just a fact. But God is working there, you guys. It is amazing what God is doing there. At the end of the day, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. And when we get that in our target and in our scope and through prayer and spiritual warfare, we begin to address that. It's amazing what doors open with people and how their hearts can soften. And I want to tell you tonight, God can do amazing things in the dark. In just 3 years, really, because of some of the setbacks that we dealt with during COVID, in basically 3 years, we have seen 50 people baptized in Jesus' name. We have seen 61 people receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God is good. Look at what He can do in the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark. God's working in that darkness. 61 people. As a matter of fact, for a while, I didn't know if anybody was ever going to get the Holy Ghost at church. Nobody was getting it at church. They were getting it in living rooms, bedrooms, automobiles. We're weird. We name our cars. We had a lady on the way home after a Wednesday night home group get the Holy Ghost in our car. And I see her and she'll go, "Pastor, remember when I got the Holy Ghost in Sheila?" I said, "Yes, I do." I mean, I didn't know if anybody was going to get it at church, but I was thankful that the Holy Ghost was being poured out everywhere, in houses and streets and automobiles. And then when it finally happened on a Sunday morning, a lady that had been hoping for the Spirit, and she just let her restraint go and begin to worship, in where I saw her hit her knees. And for the first time in a gathering, the Holy Ghost fell on her and she began to speak in other tongues. And from that moment, like within 3 weeks, 15 people had received the Holy Ghost in the house of the Lord. God can do anything in the darkness. Don't be afraid of your darkest tonight. 53 notable miracles. Backs, cancer, eyes, ears. God is doing amazing things in the dark. 26 people have finished our discipleship training and development. 18 people that were not in relationship with Jesus Christ when we got there are now leaders, going through every leadership class and Bible study and every discipleship class we've had. God can do anything in the dark. 29 people have completed a Bible study. There's about 186,000 that have gone through a Bible study. Know what that's like, right? But God can do anything in the dark. We own a building in Portland, Oregon. That's a miracle, because God can do anything in the dark. And I give him glory for that today. And I want you to grab a hold of that. I don't know where you're at. I got a feeling somebody's dealing with some darkness, and you just need to listen to the Lord tonight and know that he's right there in that darkness with you. It's just a workshop, and you just give him some time and watch what he's going to do in your situation and in your circumstance. That's the God that we serve tonight. As we wrap this up, there was a lady we were ministering to. She was from another nation. And there's a lot of gods in that nation. And she was struggling with her mind. She was very intelligent, multiple master degrees. She was struggling with the things that she was raised up in. And she was wrestling with all this, going through Bible studies. God was speaking to her. And I remember one day she called me and she said, "Pastor, it is time. It's time for me to respond to the voice of the Lord and get baptized." I said, "Come to our house right now." We baptized everybody out back on the patio. She came to the house. My wife and I went out there. I'm going to tell it fast. We went out there and we got her in that baptistry, and she got down in there, and she's still just trying to figure God out in the midst of all the chaos that is his envelope, by the way. And she went down in Jesus' name. And when she came up out of that water, the Holy Ghost hit me in my back and I began to speak out in another language out loud. My wife is there just observing and praying. And when that happened, Sandy's eyes got as big as your headlights. I'm missing it all. It happened 3 times. The Holy Ghost hit her after the 3rd time, and she was speaking in other tongues in that baptistry. When we got done, she looked at me and she said, "Pastor, you don't know my Indian language, do you?" And I said, "I do not." She said, "3 times you spoke my native name in my native tongue." God said, "Sandy, this is real. You made the right choice. I'm willing to speak your name to affirm you for what you just did." That's the God that we serve, and he does that in the dark. He's worthy to be praised tonight. Come on, don't be afraid because you can't speak their language. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, you'll be surprised what language you can speak and how God can fill in the gaps. That's the God that we serve. I told Pastor before church, we're not a large church, but there's 17 nations in our church, and God is working supernaturally because he can do anything in the dark. There was a man who came and got the Holy Ghost, and from day one, he was so sensitive to the Spirit, Pastor. I hated to be weird, but I'm like, I told my wife, I said, "I don't know what's going on." This is an incredible sensitivity to the Spirit for a man that's just received the Spirit. I said to him, I said, "Tom, we got to have breakfast. I need to know about your life." I sat down with him and I said, "Tell me your story." I was looking for some revelation. He started from the beginning. "Pastor, in my islands, my family's the most feared family of all of them, because for generations the witch doctors came from my family, and he began to help me see that for generations he has been open to the darkness. But the moment he got a hold of Jesus Christ, he didn't see the dark anymore. He saw the light. And now, like that, God will give prophecy and tongues and interpretation and visions to him, and he's a force to be reckoned with. Oh, God can do anything in the dark if you just agree with the Lord and begin to look for his hand in the cloud. He's worthy to be praised tonight. Amen. And I give him glory for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The last one I'll share with you, we had a lady that came to us. I won't say her name because it's a very complicated situation. She called us up just before Christmas. I can't tell you the whole story, but it's awesome. And she said, she left a voicemail. She said, my name is so-and-so. I'm a part of the Satanic Temple. I was adopted into that temple since I was 2 years old. I'm a priestess in that temple. I've been a part of it for now 51 years. She said, I'm going to take my life. I've been thinking about it for 3 weeks. Of course, that's glorified in the Satanic Temple. And she said, somebody named Jesus keeps speaking to me and telling me he can save me. She said, I've called multiple churches, and when I got their voicemail or they answered, I hung up, but I could not hang up this time. I called her. We met her, my wife, another lady in our church that's a minister, in a coffee shop to discern what was happening. Distraction, truth, whatever. We got in that coffee shop, and we sat there. We listened to her. We tried to build a relationship so that she would feel comfortable. The moment I could see that her nonverbal said she was a little more comfortable, we advanced that conversation a little bit. I could say Master. I could say God. I could say Lord. Nothing happened. When I said the name of Jesus, her whole body trembled. Her eyes glazed over, and she was a different person for a moment. God began to move. Long story short, within 3 weeks, she called me up, and she said, Pastor, I'm ready to say the name Jesus. When we sat at that coffee shop, God spoke to me, and he gave me some verses. James was one of them. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you, and you can draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. He told me to tell that lady that the moment you say the name of Jesus from your heart, you will be submitting to God. Those devils will leave, and you will have a choice whether you're going to draw nigh to me or not for the first time in your life. And she took that home with her. We prayed for her over the phone, encouraged her. She said, I'm going to do it. She met my wife and I at the church on a Saturday evening. My wife got there early with me, and we prayed in the spirit. She pulled up in the parking lot, and I could see out the window. She was fighting devils to get out of that car and get into the building. I was going to go out there because I wanted to be compassionate, and God said, do not go out there. She's got to get in this building on her own. All right, Lord, whatever you say. And we waited and we prayed. She came in there. It took her 45 minutes. She sat on the back row. 45 minutes she tried to say the name Jesus. When she came in, I said, Tammy, we're going to be up wandering through the church praying in the spirit. I said, every time God gives me a Bible verse, I'm going to speak that out. That's for you, and that's for the demonic that's working in you to remind it that it's not in control. And when you say the name of Jesus, God said, you're going to be free. My wife and I worship God. We prayed. He gave scripture. I would speak it out. And when she said 45 minutes, Jesus, the whole room changed, and I looked back there and knew that she was free. I walked back there, she looked like a different woman. I got pictures, a different woman. She looked at me. I said, Tammy, I think you said the name of Jesus because you look free. She said, I said Jesus. And she said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She was free indeed. Hallelujah. Because God can do anything in the dark. You get the glory. You get the honor. You're worthy. Hallelujah. When you're in a church planner, in the dark, you do weird things. I said, Tammy, how do you feel when you say Jesus? I'm just going to tell you. She said, I feel like throwing up. I said, all right, we're not done. God emptied you. You got to be filled. I said, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm getting a trash can. She sat on the third row in the back with a trash can in front of her. I said, every time you say Jesus and you feel like something's got to come out of you, let it come out of you, because you need to leave here absolutely free. Residue from 50 years of serving the devil is in you, and it needs to come out of you. Over the next few days, she got baptized in Jesus' name. She began to speak with other tongues, and she said, Pastor, can we pray against the curses on my children? I said, you better believe we can. And God's doing wonders in her work and in her life, because God can do anything in the dark. Remain standing with me. Here's something I want you to recognize as we prepare to come and respond to the Lord. two important things happen in the dark. The first one can be found in Acts 12 and 11. I'm going to read it to you. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." If you know the story, Peter is in the darkness. Literally and figuratively and spiritually, he's in the darkness. And an angel comes and supernaturally sets him free. And when he's on the outside, he says, "I know for myself that this God is so real because he just set me free." There's a purpose for that darkness. It's to show you God is real and he is with you and you're going to get it for yourself. Peter says, "This ain't about all the people I've been preaching to anymore. This is about me, and now I know." Now look at this other passage, Genesis 22 and 12, almost the same words, but this time it's not a man, it's God. Genesis 22 and 12, he said to Abraham, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. Look at this, for now I know that you fear me." You fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The darkness teaches me about who he really is. And I don't get it, but that verse says that he learns about who you really are in the dark. He says, "Abram, stop. I know who you are now." Some translations and studies say, "I recognize how much you revere me and you are willing to obey me." There's some purpose in your darkness tonight. God's learning who you really are. And if you'll get on the same page with him, you're going to learn who he really is for yourself. Can we just begin to pray? Set our eyes upon the Lord right now. God, I refuse to be afraid of the dark any longer. I will not be afraid of the dark any longer. Darkness will not have its hold on me because of fear any longer. God, I recognize that this darkness it's crafted for me to learn more about you. I refuse, God, for you to learn anything about me other than I revere you. I stand in awe of you, and I will be obedient to the end no matter how dark it gets. I believe you're going to learn about me, God, in this darkness. And you're going to learn how much I love you and how much I'm committed to your truth. No matter what's covering me and surrounding me. God, I see now that this is just your canopy. That there's amazing things that could happen in this darkness. So I refuse to be robbed of covenants. I refuse to miss out on new principles, new promises. I refuse to let my flesh prevail in the darkness. No, God, I'm running toward you in the dark. Because you are a God in the dark. If you want to, you can just come running to the Lord tonight. You need to hear God's call on you tonight. Don't be afraid of that dark any longer. This place is open for prayer. Have a meeting with God in the dark right now. It might be horrifying like Abraham experienced, but God's in that. There's a covenant in that. There's a promise in that. There's a reward in that. There's victory in that. Don't be afraid, but run into that darkness with the Lord.